Welcome, Rachel G, to Samsara Happy Hour. We're shooting on Kamali One Beach and Park here on the Hawaiian island of Maui. So we're so happy to be here, and a big thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And here you are with your dog, Conquistador.
This is Conquistadora, yes.
Conquistadora, sorry, I butchered the name already.
It's okay.
Conquistadora.
My little helper.
Your little helper.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and we appreciate you being on the show, and it's such a pleasure because you're not only a yoga teacher, but also a tattoo artist. So we're going to dive into both worlds, as well as just the sake of that you're living on the island. We'll talk about that too, island living as well. And so this is a show where we basically capture spiritual guests discussing spiritual quests over featured beers. Today we're going to be drinking a featured kombucha, which is a fermented drink, so we're not so far off from a beer, and it can actually have an alcohol content up to 0.5% alcohol, so we're very much in that realm. So we're going to be drinking, well, here we go, let's crack one. We're going to be drinking Valley Isle kombucha, which is brewed in Lahaina here on Maui Island. So which one do you like? We have green, and we have goji berry. Goji berry, you're feeling? Okay, yeah. I'm going to have the green. After 10 days of being on the beach here with my crew and several beers, I think this green superfood blend might be a welcome detox.
Balance.
A little balancing act. So cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
So you're originally from the northeast of the American...
American lands.
American states, American lands, United States of America. Sure.
Good old New York. Yep.
So, born in
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Did my whole old tri-state area. Grew up in Jersey, went to college in Philly, and then pretty much popped right over to Hawaii after that.
Nice. At what age did you come out to Hawaii?
What was it? 21 now. Yeah.
21. So I'd like to just kind of ask you about that. Like, you know, we're from Western Canada. Most have been in the same area, on the prairie land of Alberta. And so I'm just wondering if you went through some transformative experiences that brought you out here, or if it was, you know, for me around that age of 21, I think it was about 22, 23, I went to the west coast of Canada, which is Salt Spring Island, and took part in a Tibetan Buddhist retreat center.
Oh, cool.
6 month. Work experience retreat. So did you have something that brought you out here?
I actually answered an ad to teach art at this retreat center called Kalani Hanua on the Big Island. And at the time I was a total art school student, bartending, party city girl freak. Had no idea about yoga. As far as I know, everybody did yoga, listened to Yanni. I had no idea what tofu was. Nothing healthy, spiritual across the planet at all. I was just coming to Hawaii to teach art. And I ended up at this retreat center in the middle of the jungle on Big Island in Puna. And I got my mind blown away pretty much at the endless possibilities of other ways of living.
Yeah.
Across the board. So.
Well, yeah, from northeast to southwest in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So was that originally a cultural shock? Coming from the northeast, of all the people around, coming out here, the slower way of living?
Definitely it was a slower way of living. I definitely, you know, from being the city party girl, definitely needed a health adjustment and just didn't realize it till I got here.
Right. And 21's not a bad age to realize it, though.
No, I know. I started early.
I've been realizing it just over the last while. Well, some degree. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was definitely a shocker, and I only thought I'd be here for a month, like everybody else says here in Hawaii land.
Right.
And just ended up, so I had the artist in residency program to teach art there and live on the property. And I ended up, long story short, becoming the general manager there and ended up running the place for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a really awesome place that has all different walks of life that come through, from massage schools to yoga schools, individual spiritual retreats that go on, to group retreats that go on. And like I said, I knew nothing about any of this realm of the world, so I was just kind of like, what kind of drugs are you people on?
You have to move this slow.
I know, totally. It's like, really? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it really grew on me, and you know, I ended up just pushing up my ticket.
So moving from there, so you did your teacher training, and how many hours of teacher training have you done to date, and when did you first take teacher training, and who would you consider yourself to have a root teacher?
Yes, I'd say right now I have a couple. I started with Kathy Elders and at Kalani, and I actually started the yoga teacher training program with her. She was another fellow New Yorker that just kind of hit home real quickly, easily, brought it to the table, and it was really easy for me physically, you know, and it wasn't until like years later, possibly till a couple years into teaching, that I actually got the whole other elements of yoga and meditation and how much deeper you could bring it into your life. And a little backstory is I did end up getting cancer right before I left New York. So that was kind of a big catalyst change around that time, and realizing that you kind of have to be your own health insurance in this land of America as well, and take it into your own hands. And I probably battled with that from 21 until 31, honestly, back and forth of, you know, playing the balance of both worlds and trying to figure it all out. And then...
And that goes back to the suffering a bit. Maybe that was part of your...
Yeah.
Incentive?
Yeah.
Deeper into the holistic world? Did you do a conventional treatment, can I ask? Or
I ended up getting a part surgery, and they didn't do any radiation or anything like that. Yeah.
Okay.
And I pretty much told them, bye-bye, I'm not listening to you, I'm moving to Hawaii. So I kind of just took it into my own hands just to see what would happen, and still didn't realize all of that till just recently, until I'd say the past 6-7 years, I really dove deeper into my meditation and got into that whole suffering mind world and everything. And that also happened with my recent training, which is in the past 3 years I did, and I've taken workshops across the world and stuff with different teachers, but I really dive deep with Nikki and Eddie at Maya Yoga up in Waylo over here. And their background is very similar to my original teacher, who studied with BKS Iyengar and Patabi Joyce in Ashtanga style, and they kind of mix a flow with the alignment. And you know, in the sense that all three of those main teachers I've had throughout the years, their philosophy is basically, you know, everybody that walks in the door, if you have a classroom of 20 people, is not all the same body. So you have to be able to kind of address each situation on the mat and turn it into a practice for everyone, and kind of make it a group effort without everybody knowing it.
Yes.
Well, to a certain extent.
I mean, on that note, if I can just jump in, like, I took the Chill and Flow yoga class with this morning, really enjoyed it, loved it.
Yay.
And there were 6 of us in the room with you.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful thing. So how do you feel about that in class? It seems to be like Body Alive Yoga, where you teach and you own the studio, that you can really do some hands-on work.
Yeah, we've had, believe it or not, 31 people in that small space before.
Wow.
Yeah, because I do a lot of events with musicians, live electronic
DJs.
Great,
the workshops.
I do workshops. So we'll kind of pack them in there, and that's more of like a sound meditation experience, definitely with all the
communal
same
vibe.
Yeah, with definitely all the same underlying tones of alignment and flow for me.
Yep.
But I have to say, I've been teaching now almost 12 years, about as long as I've been tattooing, and I now really appreciate smaller classes, and really appreciate, I've started doing a couple privates this past couple years, and it's just awesome to work one-on-one with people and see the progression and know someone's body. It's very challenging when you get a huge group, but that's also like, you know, that's your students teaching you too. When you walk into a class, when you thought like, oh, one day I thought, oh, this is a small class, it'll just be 5 people, it'll be easy, you know. I walk in, there's like 20. I'm like, oh God, where'd you all come from?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And also, you know, the love and beauty of the business as yoga. You never know what you're gonna have walk through the door.
Yeah. Things come up.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been really happy to notice in myself that I get taught every time I walk through the door by everybody that walks through the door, because there's always gonna be someone different. Even that person that you know is gonna walk in with something different. And then how to be able to kind of keep a bigger class on more of a cohesive side, that it all works for everybody, you know. So the person that wants more is challenged, the person that wants a little less is still challenged, and they're both being able to find that like balance and peace within themselves and within the class. Because the studio that we have, the location where we are, is we cater to all different levels, so I kind of make each class on the schedule to be able to be taken by all different levels.
Yeah. You have a lunchtime yoga for might be more the business group in Wailuku.
Yeah.
Which is a great location, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, it's my little city in Hawaii.
Is it? Yeah, city, town, village, whatever it's considered. Yeah. Maybe more town, I don't know. But
I know.
East of the West Maui Mountains, so it's rainforest, you know, it's east of the rainforest. We love it, you know, coming through. This is our third time here, for most of us, from our crew coming through, and it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous. I love it. We can see the mountains and the ocean from up there, too, so it's really, well, I feel very blessed, for sure.
On that note, you have the tattoo studio right across the hallway. And how did you first get into tattooing?
Well, when I was at that retreat center over on the Big Island, I was getting tattooed in town about 3 hours or an hour away. And I just was about done with that job as the general manager after a couple years and ready to leave the island because I was only supposed to be here for a month.
And would you say that was too much stress that you wanted for island living? It was just a number of things.
I was
just 22, time to move on.
Running 200 people in the middle of the jungle with my art degree.
I think
it
that says
great.
It all without us dissecting it further.
Yeah,
that's,
about good. Yeah. It was super awesome, great experience. It totally.
Yeah.
If you would have told me I'm doing what I'm doing now, then I would have been no way. But that's what made me come here. So
it speaks well to getting an arts degree, though.
Yeah. You know? No, it really opened a lot of doors. Yeah, for me and. I still go back there. I still teach and do workshops over there. But I ended up tattooing because I became friends with guys in the town there, and they said, don't leave, we'll teach you everything. Aren't you an artist? And I was like, okay. But long story short, they didn't teach me everything. They left me there, and I was on my own. And just kind of learned along the way through studying with different people that came through that shop, and then also being able to go to places like New Zealand and London and sit and work and study with a lot of different artists. It's kind of very similar to yoga in a sense. Like, the more experience and exposure that you have to others that you can learn from, whether it be your students or your teachers, the more you learn different ways to maneuver the skill of teaching and tattooing, you know.
Right.
And just recently I took on, I've had a few apprentices, but this is my first like full-on from day one apprentice, and that's been a whole other being I'm now the student and the teacher, and you know, learning it all over again, so it's been really good.
Yeah. So through this whole journey, then, through both yoga and tattooing, would you say that you have a particular like spirituality that you identify with, or is it just your own internal personal journey?
My ridiculous journey, yes.
Well, that's great. I mean, the way you're laughing about it, I mean, I caught that in class this morning.
You have to.
You know, with what we could find online about you, you know, like you have this lighthearted approach. And with that, I'll mention this morning's class, I love that you said, you know, a number of times, it's like this importance of smiling.
Yeah.
Lightening up between the eyebrows, and I always call it the George Constanza. I get it myself.
Totally.
It's like, you know, I don't know if I can do it on purpose or not, but I get that crunch between
squint.
The eyebrows.
So yeah, serious.
So if I look in the mirror, it's like, okay, yeah, smile. Okay, yeah, loosens up the forehead. So you mentioned that, but you added a great line, and I, just to paraphrase, it was, we do yoga so that we can learn to have fun with the rest of our lives, you know, during our everyday life. So in that way, it's a practice, you know, yoga practice, sitting practice, if it's meditation.
I really couldn't do one without the other. Everybody's always like, you're nuts. I own three businesses now. I have a tattoo shop in Alaska as well, and I do teach up in Alaska as well in the summer. And
teach tattooing or yoga?
I tattoo in Alaska, and then I teach yoga also in Alaska in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everybody's like, what are you doing? How can you do both in one place and two places? I'm like, you know, I couldn't do one without the other, honestly. Like, and I said it today too, I think the soft and the strong has been a real theme for me recently in the past couple years when I've opened up both of the studios, realizing kind of what I wanted to have offered to the world is like, yeah, there's a strong side and a really like, you know, people could say tattoo is a real harsh side of the world and yoga is a real soft side of the world, but who's to say they can't influence and balance each other out?
Yeah.
And the experience of the actual practice of it and then the experience of how it transforms a person, how it transforms your body physically, visually, and inside and out, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been really trying to kind of formulate a blog or a book about it a bit because it's been such a... You know, you hear about those yoga aha moments. It's like, that's kind of what it is. Like, you hear about balance, but you're like, what's balance? You know, you hear about the dualities, but you're like, what exactly is that? But at least for me, I didn't even realize it till recently. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I kind of did it. I asked for what I wanted as far as like being able to create art and to also stay within my body in a healthy practice way. But a lot of times you'll see in the tattoo world, and this is why I've been trying to bridge the two, is offering yoga for tattoo artists is, you know, physically, if nothing else, if you just want to look at it scientifically and physically, this is such an epidemic.
Right. So just to clarify, yoga for tattoo artists is this DVD that you're putting together.
Yes.
Working on that particular aspect of that tattoo artists deal with, which is sitting or hunching, doing this kind of work, which they say sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah.
So you're doing a yoga DVD or series regarding.
I started
opening
a YouTube
up.
Channel as well.
Okay.
So, yeah,
great.
Body Alive Yoga. You can just look it up on
Body
YouTube.
Body Alive Yoga. Awesome.
And there's little 5-minute things for those of that are, I call them the spiritually curious. You know, they might be spiritually curious or physically curious. Anything to kind
or
of like.
Or in pain.
In pain, just need to, yeah, exactly. Just chase the pain out of
one
the body.
One way or another.
Yeah. I know, because that another realization in my own practice that I've been trying to just kind of like just share the message is like the pain in the body is the pain in the brain, and then it all just starts circling around and creating things that you didn't even know were in there, you know? And
they're so linked.
Yeah.
That's,
so.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I forgot that question. Oh, about my spiritual practice. So yeah, rewind. It's my life. Because
yeah.
I really don't have a choice, you know?
Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's great. And I think that takes so much courage.
Mm.
But it's also, I guess,
it's
you know,
hard,
the
though,
bright
you know?
Side is that not only does it take courage because you don't know where the money's going to come from.
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, the customers in general, just to be kept busy. But it's courage also because you're basically teaching what you also want to be taught, right? It's that whole thing. You're just diving into what drives you.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, largely the Samsara happy hour is mostly so far a hobby for us, but it's what we love and it's our passion. So talking about this stuff is what we're
info.
Doing.
Yeah. No,
so how's
great.
It been going for you so far? How
it's
long?
Been awesome.
I mean, it's been over 10 years now in one form or another, right?
Yeah, I've been tattooing for almost 11, and I started the whole yoga, like practicing. First teacher training was 12 years ago. So, and again, I had no idea I was going to open up into this at all. And I took over the yoga studio about 4 years ago and the tattoo shop about 3 years ago.
Okay, here in
Maui.
Maui.
Mm-hmm. And then Alaska started this past summer. So just to kind of change locations and see something different.
How was the Big Island for you comparatively? Like, I've only been here to Maui now 3 times. I haven't been to any of the other islands, so I'm just curious, any comparisons there to be drawn?
Well, there's always a wet side and then just a dry side to the island, so there's that. And where I started off in Kalani, it was more on the jungle side. And at the moment now I live in Haikou on Maui, which is also the jungle wet side of this island. And I said I would never do it again.
So
after
funny being the juicy side of living here.
Yeah. It's gorgeous, but it definitely, you know, it's nature. And if you're a city kid, you're like living with centipedes and cockroaches and having to be all ahimsa about it.
We've had some cockroaches where we're staying right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's great. It's like, okay.
I'm like, I liberate you. Go away.
Yeah, there's no perfect paradise is what we're kind of saying to ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
everybody's
really?
Like, oh my God, it's gorgeous. And it's like, you
we've
know,
we've got a cockroach this big
everywhere.
We've never seen before. And it's like, wow.
Uh-huh.
You know, I generally try not to kill sentient beings. But insects, you know, they're a little bit on the chopping block, right? It's like, how sentient are they? And when they're possibly infringing on our vacation.
Yeah.
And so I think I've probably, my cockroach kill is probably up to about 30 right now. From big to small.
You're liberating them.
Big to small. But I mean, I haven't killed them that big yet. We didn't quite get that guy in time. They're pretty quick and they're nimble. By the time you find something to kill it with, they're often gone. Anyway, that's not to say that don't come to Maui. That's
to
say
it's gorgeous.
That's pretty much the only possible nuisance you're going to have.
Right.
And to be fair, our condo is regularly sprayed every 2 or 3 months with this quite safe, you know, pesticide called permethrin. And I know a little bit about pesticides, and they're not as bad as people think at times. So I'm just throwing that out there, that's a pretty minor nuisance to come out to Maui. It's been just so blissful for us, and we just love the island. We love being able to get around and sample, you know, several of the 88 beaches that are here. We've gone up to the volcano, we've gone to Lahaina for what it has to offer, and further west. We've gone to Paia, we've gone to Hana, of course, and we just, you know, there's so much here, but it's all accessible too. It's not dealing with any kind of big cities.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, the most traffic you'll have is between, you know, here and being in Kihei, and to Lahaina. You know, and that's probably the most busy road you'll have to experience. But yeah, we love it here.
And Big Island's very much similar, but way more spread out. Mm. So it's actually less people that you'll see, and even more secluded and desolate. And
right. Yeah,
it kind of freaks people out with the volcano and everything too, but it's gorgeous. All the islands are really amazing. But you know what you're saying, it's like, it's not for everybody too, you know? What they say, paradise is in the eyes of the beholder, is that the saying, or no?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, but paradise sounds pretty, that sounds really cool too.
I make up my own all the time.
No, it sounds perfect. That's pretty much it. You're right,
it
though.
It is true, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I noticed that, I think we were talking about me, I did a little bit of training in India as well.
Yeah.
And that was a big, like, eye-opener as
in
well.
New Zealand and Bali, I think. Mm-hmm.
I taught after. I was in India, I studied a little bit with my first teacher out there and kind of really got that experience of third world and the experience of paradise is in the eyes of the beholder, because everybody's like, oh, Hawaii is still beautiful, la la la. And you know, being a city girl, I've definitely gone through my moments in the past 15 years like, what in the hell am I doing out here, you know? And kind of just check yourself of like, wherever you are, your shit's gonna follow you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's up to you to kind of like take that time out and figure it out so you could actually find your paradise right in front of you, you know, wherever it is. Because it's amazing in India how like horribly disgusting it is and then so beautiful. And those people have the most gorgeous smiles and their true, true happiness, you know. I got introduced to Vipassana meditation when I was there just by talking to people and heard about it for years.
And yes, in Goenka style?
Goenka style, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I heard about it for years and I was like, at the time when I went, I was able to do that big trip about 9 years ago because my house burned down on the Big Island. And that's also a lesson in yoga practice. Mm. Materialistic shedding, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll just dive right in. The only thing that was left was a corner of my yoga book and a corner of my passport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it from lava flows? Was it from letting a candle burn?
Yeah, I wish. Unfortunately, it was the hotel across the bay lighting off a private fireworks show in the direction of my house.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the...
So this is all to say that you got some insurance money
and
then had to deal with the painful loss of your place.
Right, but...
But that also you decided to take off.
Well, you need to be careful what you ask for, too, you know? I was always like, if I didn't have this awesome paradise life, I'd be off around the world traveling. And what a lesson that was, and how that has also brought me to where I am now, too, you know? Mm. It's like, if I didn't get all the rug ripped up from underneath me, I wouldn't have just kept on moving forward in my path, and the path I didn't even know I had, you know?
Well, again, it speaks to suffering. And, and Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, I quite like, from the Shambhala tradition, talks about groundlessness.
Yeah.
I love that groundlessness. And he has a great quote, which is basically, it's the sick ones are the fortunate ones.
Yeah.
Which sounds quite crazy at first, but what it's getting at is that, you know, those that are sick in one form, in one form or another, are the ones that are going to go inward, and possibly find some sense in whatever level of awareness or enlightenment, whatever word you want to use, right?
Other than yoga, and the little smidgen I understood of Shavasana all those years, Vipassana was the first introduction to meditation, and it came at the right time. I bought my yoga studio, took a look at myself in the mirror, and I was about 55 pounds heavier. And I was like, you're holding on a bunch of crap.
You heavier than you are now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was like 7 sizes bigger. Yeah. And wore it well. I was a big kickboxing instructor before all this and everything, you know, but it was... I saw myself in the mirror and saw more than just the actual body weight. And I was like, you gotta go check yourself out now, you know? And different events led me to all of a sudden, like just sporadically buying that yoga studio. And then all of a sudden was like, what am I doing? And then I checked myself into the Vipassana.
Okay.
And
where it's held on the Big Island?
No, in New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand.
Yeah, because I go there and tattoo every other year.
Okay.
So I kind of linked it all up with the travel, and it was one of the best things I could have done, you know. That's a whole other giant long story, but in short, right the day before I went to Vipassana, I got bit by a spider, and ended up being a flesh-eating disease, deadly spider. They only seen 3 cases in 5 years in New Zealand, and they weren't going to let me go to meditation. And I was like, oh my God, and then I convinced them, I got my medicine, went there. And I had the realization that, I think I said before, everything that's pain in the mind starts getting like transferred physically in the body.
Yes.
And my body vessel, meat sack, I call it.
Yes.
Is definitely possessed with that whole thing of like transferring it out physically. And I had that whole realization through being able to shut everything else up. I was like, okay, your body is just telling you warning signals, you know, and kind of just being able to share that with not only my students in my yoga studio now, but also coincidentally, I was able to open up the tattoo shop a year after having that yoga studio. That space just by accident came up. And I said, okay, I'm going to go from tattooing sea turtles by the sea to next to my yoga studio, and I'm going on lotuses now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Great.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I do it all now across the board, having the studio a couple of years, but the meditation and the practice I'm able to share from being on the mat to like also calming people down on the massage table while they're getting tattooed, it's like kind of same thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. A lot of one-on-one.
Yeah.
And feeling where people are at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. A lot of my check-in all the time is where my body is at. Mm-hmm. My body's my mirror. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, I'm feeling nervous. And it's being honest with that. Okay, I'm nervous. What's that coming from? And being with that. And you don't want to suppress it or fight it, because that's where like the idea of panic attacks or panicking come from. It snowballs.
Yeah.
You panic about panicking about panicking. And then, but it's just being with, you know, using that. And then not even necessarily if you aren't feeling well, but also just Eckhart Tolle is big about talking about feeling your energy body.
Mm-hmm.
It's just feeling your presence. That's one portal, he calls it, into presence. And I'm a big Eckhart Tolle fan. So you're just being with your body and seeing where you're at. And definitely that's been part of my teacher for sure, is seeing how my body gets away on me. And it's humbling.
And that's like the first step. Like like you said, so many people could get stuck right there, you know, and be like, oh God, this ache, that pain, I'm never gonna get better. But you're at least recognizing it, you know, and like having that conversation with the energy body, the physical body, the breath body is another analogy
I
use
a
lot too.
Yeah. We can't bullshit ourselves, in other words.
No, I did a good job of doing it for a while.
Me too. Bullshitting myself for quite a while. And now it's like a little bit more like, wow, I it's time to work on or try to work on some of these things and see if I can, you know, align body, emotion, and mind.
And then
not
also,
all the time.
Right.
You got to be easy on yourself. You don't want to set these high ambitions.
Right. But, exactly. That's what I was just going to say, is to have that awareness that it's okay to like not feel like 100% like a Buddha elated all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can be freaking angry.
Yeah.
That's a totally valid, you know, emotion. Be valid with your emotions. Be truthful with your emotions, you know. And
totally.
Yeah, it's an interesting game we have this life.
It is. It's a lot about self-honesty along the way.
Yeah, and you know, I've done my years again being too serious about it, so that's why I always bring that up in class. It's like, yeah, you know, this is serious stuff, this life, and the things that we get thrown, but what are you going to do about it? Like, sit there and be serious? Like, that's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I'm all out.
You're all out, and I'm all out too. So it's time to have another Valley Isle kombucha, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So what else do we have in the cooler here? We have Tahitian lime. I just finished the green exclusive superfood blend.
And goji berry with turmeric.
Goji berry with turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard one for me to pronounce.
Apparently
superfood for sure. And apparently they have 14 flavors.
Flavors,
so we have five of which. So here is a Tahitian lime and a Moringa oleifera.
Okay.
And local lilikoi.
I think I'll try the Tahitian lime.
Tahitian lime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try this.
Like good lemonade.
And I'm going to try the local lilikoi.
Okay.
And so this is a kombucha brewed in Lahaina here on Maui. And my knowledge of kombucha, I was brewing my own at home, is that it's just a great source of probiotics. So it's great for gastrointestinal issues, great for producing gut flora, and particularly good to drink on an empty stomach. So it's got that detoxing flavor to it. I stopped brewing it at home because unfortunately I tried to like keep some going for too long and I ran into this kind of bug issue.
Yeah.
A lot of these little critters running around in my SCOBY and my jar, and try to redo it, but then I had even more, so then I threw out my SCOBY. So I got to relocate another SCOBY. That's not to turn people away from making them. It's just that when it's ready, and don't try to keep it brewing too much longer. It can attract fruit flies, but as long as you cover it on the top with some nylon, you're okay. This Valley Isle company seems really cool in that a portion of the proceeds from every product is going into the Clean Oceans Project. Cool. So they're found at www.thecleanoceansproject.org. And basically their whole vision is to have oceans free of plastic pollution. So they're not only locating the plastics out there in the oceans, but they're removing it and then recycling it.
Awesome.
And they're based out of Santa Cruz, California. So
cool.
Pretty cool things going on. It's in glass bottles, so they're not necessarily producing more potential plastic in the ocean. But great drink. I really enjoyed the green superfood I want to have. And here I'm going to have a sip of this local Lilikoi.
Yeah, I started saving all my kombucha bottles. I'm gonna build a glass wall in my shower there.
Oh wow!
A little designer glass wall. Yeah. Figured
awesome.
You gotta recycle stuff, you know. Yeah. Might as well try and be something creative with it.
Totally. So do you have a pretty rustic place where you're living then? When you say you're living in the jungle?
At the moment, yes. Mhm. It's off the grid. It's a little jungle hut and on a big acreage with a bunch of different. Friends that live there, you know, it's just low,
awesome.
Low rent. It's able, since I'm going to be doing the half on the island, half off the island, which is something I always wanted to do. The best way to do it is just keep it really low.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Low imprint here, low imprint there, and get rid of stuff.
Oh, so cool. So is there some solar going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got it all. All the backup. So when storm hit, we were the only ones with the electricity.
Oh, no way. Wasn't that something, you know?
Yeah, solar generator, battery backup, and all of it. So
No,
it's definitely different than New York. I had no idea what a generator was till I moved to Hawaii, which was funny. And then I'm changing the oil in generators. But it's great. I wish I had more time for actually gardening because you could really do so much out here, you know? But there's lots of different awesome markets, and people on the islands in general, I'd say, are definitely starting to make more of a health awareness, and lots of different nutritionists in general for people to be accessible to, and naturopath doctors, and you find a lot of like the kombucha bars, and even in regular bars, there's kombucha as an option. You know,
excellent.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah, gluten-free options.
Exactly, gluten-free stuff.
So do you follow a particular diet yourself?
I changed everything when I did the Vipassana, changed my brain, came back, and then was still needing to change the physical body. And I went on, because I had a lot of scar tissue and things I was dealing with the cancer from years ago that I didn't realize, and couldn't figure it out. So I went to a nutritionist and pretty much went gluten-free and dairy-free. I think I even was completely animal-free for a good year and a half or so.
Okay.
And I my diet now is pretty much what I started then, give or take on the weekends and holidays. But
which is smart and fair and totally respectable.
I can't
because I think
be
it
that person.
There's something to do with flowing with that
and
humility, right?
Yeah.
I'm following something right now. Generally, these two authors, two scientists, husband and wife team. The wife works at Harvard, and the husband was a former, I think, astrophysicist.
Mm-hmm.
But they wrote something called the Perfect Health Diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great diet. I mean, they studied basically the nutritional literature through her access to all the Harvard records for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And one of my health gurus, Dr. McCullough, kind of promoted them and the book. I'm a big Eckhart Tolle fan,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier, and you came across Eckhart Tolle as well, as far as I understand, in a very synchronistic way.
Yeah, all around that same time, I got the yoga, right before I got the yoga studio, and right before I decided to sign up for a Vipassana, and I had quit working at the conventional, 10-person tattoo shop over in Lahaina, where I was making bank and having the greatest tattoo life you could possibly imagine, you know, and tattooing turtles and flowers and turtles and flowers, and traveling and tattooing turtles and flowers, and it just wasn't right, you know, it didn't feel good at all. And I quit, and I never quit. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Went to San Francisco, was supposed to tattoo, and actually didn't tattoo because I just didn't feel. That's something that's come over the years too. It's like, I'm not just gonna just put something on somebody's body anymore. Like for me, it's like a real practice, and I could get into that a little bit more later. But I was walking underneath a bridge and I was like, I need a book to read. I need something to tell me something. And the power of now is open. All highlighted out through the whole thing from the front to the back. Someone left it wide open on the ground. And I'm like, okay, guess I'm supposed to read that one.
Wow.
Yeah, and That's awesome, kind of really, you know, for people that, like myself, that have been like working with trying to figure out what's going on in the meat body here and the in the mind and the spirit and everything. It wasn't anything like, oh, I never heard that before. But the way he really presented it and the energy body and the, and it's been quite a few years now, almost like 5 years since I've read it. But I was just so happy to have like a guideline that was a story that was able to speak in regular English speaking human terms rather than like this shockwave and that alignment. And you know, really it was sometimes you pick up some books from people that are just like, what are they talking about, you know? And it was real. It was like, hello, your mind. You have one.
It's a non-religious practical way of being.
And I grew up from a really born-again Christian background, so any type of thing with a religion and prayer or for years, not until actually really recently I was like, stay away, you know, so it's,
which is too bad, right? That sometimes spirituality could get thrown out with that religious bathwater.
And which was, I'd say for a long time, detriment to me actually diving deeper into my own practice, you know, because I really didn't take into note what a prayer and what a ceremony can be on the mat and off the mat and how necessary it is that that is my religion, for lack of a better word, you know, and and then the, how great that is.
Yes.
You know? I feel like this day and age, there's a lot more that's been introduced. This day and age, I sound like I'm so old, but
I'm getting the same. I'm doing the same thing.
Just now, and I don't know if it's the people I surround myself with, or it just seems like society on a whole is realizing we've been missing something. You know, because we could see it that. What's portrayed from other villages and other tribes from different countries, and you could see it in the people, and you could see it within their art, you could see it within their own practice, like
That's
I was saying.
Just,
yeah, it, like it's really juicy, you know, and it's really healing, and it's really part of their lives. It's not this set aside thing that you view at, you know, and I feel like America.
It's not that George Constanza's walking around.
Like always trying to study and view instead of being in part, you know, and being a part of it. And, you know, I was very heavily into the festival scene, music and art festival scene for years too, traveled with Burning Man and was a fire dancer back when nobody did that.
Very cool. Wow.
And that whole scene of the festival scene and coming together as one with music, performance, yoga, spiritual practices, there's all different workshops that are offered in many of these different festivals is the best word I could think of. I've done tons in California. I know Canada has a couple of good ones as well I've been dying to get up to, and Australia and or all through Europe I did. And it's awesome to see that. And I know I've heard a lot of like the older generations kind of, you know, referred to them as the modern day hippies or the, like, you know, that whole scene from like the 60s just being repeated. But I feel like it's repeated with more consciousness because a lot of those festivals also hold workshops on sustainable living.
Yes.
How to come together as a group, as a community to support arts that are interactive, that are transformative and visionary. Definitely yoga is like all over it with that, you know.
Yes.
And it's nice to see many different types of yoga that are branching out in the world and kind of accessing a lot of different walks of lives too. So it definitely, it seems like it's, you know, better timing for people to open their eyes now.
Yeah.
There's things happening and nobody's being on shush about it either, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, and it comes in the tattoo world as well. You see it in the artwork.
Like right.
Back in the 80s, you look at tattoo books and it was all like, tribal, harsh, like I'm going to stamp myself and mark myself to be part of this, rather than now I feel like it's like, this is what I am, you know, and this is what I'm going to put on my body, and this is the journey I went through, you know, on many different levels.
Ritual, little ceremonial aspect to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like what you're saying. I really feel like that we might be on the verge. That hippie world is very, or the hippie word is very loaded.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
I really like what you're saying, because I kind of feel like we are on the verge of possibly a second wave of this, mm-hmm. but something that you said is kind of deeper, mm-hmm. that is encompassing, you know, along those lines of globalization. It's that knowledge of the world mm-hmm. on all these different levels, mm-hmm. Spiritually, environmentally, physically, emotionally, mentally, etc. And yeah, I think that's maybe that's a great note to end off on. I do want to touch base a little bit on some links that we want to throw out there. Mm-hmm. I believe you're active on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your website is bodyaliveyoga.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And exoticeyetattoo.com.
Yes.
So whatever you're feeling drawn to release, you want to release it one way or another,
yeah.
and hopefully in healthy ways.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
it can come out in unhealthy ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then just sharing your experience is huge. Like, what you guys are doing right now is awesome. You know, it's like talking and being courageous and powerful enough to be able to share what you believe in and not think anything of it, and hopefully not feel anything that other people are going to think anything of it other than, like, that's awesome, you know?
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah. We realize it's totally like a drop in the ocean out there.
Yeah,
we're doing what drives us, right? You got to do what gives you the goosebumps.
Exactly.
And hopefully, maybe some people could have, you know, possibly given goosebumps.
Goosebumps are important. Yes.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We'll do three cheers, Rachel.
Cheers. Cheers, Jason.
Thanks again.
Cheers.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo.